And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I want to just, if you're willing to, just for a few moments, and hopefully there's a child close to you if possible. If not, just for a few moments with a few people around you, what's your favorite part of the Christmas story? Is there a certain part that is most significant to you, most intriguing to you? So if you can just gather just for a couple of minutes, two, three, four, five, six people, whatever it is, a little group, and just go around the circle, is there a part that's your favorite parts, or your best parts, or your most, you know, the part you love the most? What I sometimes do, and I know that my wife really doesn't like this too much, is usually when I ask a question of people, I don't typically answer it myself, right? So I've asked you, what's your favorite parts? But I have a tough time saying, well, what's my favorite part? Because for me, there are so many details of the Christmas story that I find so intriguing. Certainly the baby, the child, the idea of God being with us, that this baby is, as we heard again this morning, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. And this year, we tried a little bit at Nelson Avenue to talk about Bethlehem. Like, what was Bethlehem like? And why Bethlehem? Why the shepherds? Where was Jesus really born? And for me, maybe most shocking of all was the manger. What did that manger really look like? I think different, at least, than I used to think. And I've been reminded recently by someone that the Christmas story is better than fiction. Better than anything we typically come up with. Because all the stories that we come up with, I would suggest, and I'm making a generalization, but a lot of stories we come up with, including the story of Santa Claus, is always a story about religion. Have you been naughty or nice? That's Santa Claus. Anybody want to tell us? Have you been naughty or nice this year? Okay, well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. That's great. Others of us might have other responses, I don't know. But if you've been naughty, what do you get? Yeah, I never knew that. I'm sorry. I just did not know the story well enough or the song well enough. I just thought you didn't get presents. But you get coal, which I'll have to ask later on why coal. But if you're naughty, I assume it's something bad. If you're nice, you get something good. That's religion. But that's not the Christmas story. Right? Jesus doesn't come, and he's not coming to earth looking for the good people or the nice people or the people who are trying really hard. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus comes into the darkness. Right, he is the light coming into the darkness. He's like the candle coming into the darkness. And this morning, I want to just point out a couple of details from our story, and then I'm going to invite you in a few moments to respond. So I'm so thankful. Like, I love this worship team this morning, the songs, the kids involved. I love it when we can have lots of different generations and people involved in the service. I love the videos. And so in a few moments after I've said a few things, I also want to invite more of us, if you're willing to respond to the message. Because the story, as we heard it this morning, is a story set in real time and space. Caesar Augustus was a real person. And he has a plan for the whole world, at least the world that he knows, right? He wants to count his entire empire. At the same time, I might call God the emperor of the emperors, right? So the one who's over all the emperors, over all the Caesars, over all the kings, he also has a plan. It's a bit different than Caesar's plan. It's in a very small village, a very out-of-the-way place, a really small, kind of looks like a small plan, but as the angel tells us, it's a plan for the world. Because it's supposed to be good news for all the people, which I assume means all the people in Bethlehem and all the people in Israel, but also all the people, all the peoples, all the nations. And I suggest that because this is a story of the Bible, that the God who is the God of the Bible, the God who made the heavens and the earth, is the God who is the God over the earth, over the peoples. And early on in the story of the Bible, he calls a man named Abram and says, I want to bless your family. No, he doesn't say that, actually. Well, he does, but he says, I want to bless all peoples through your family. Right? It's always, God's always wanting the peoples, the nations, the world. I think there's also Luke's emphasis. The writer of this Christmas story was a person who was not Jewish. He understood what it meant for a non-Jewish person to hear news about a Jewish rabbi and follow him. And then even the movement of the whole Jesus story is a movement into the nations, right? Jesus sending his disciples, sending his followers into all the world. And this is certainly the ministry of Jesus. And it's the ministry of the Church of Jesus since Jesus. I think counterintuitive to what most people think, Jesus himself and the movement of Jesus is the most inclusive, the most multi-ethnic, the most diverse community in the world. I say counterintuitive because many people think the church and the Christian faith are for certain kinds of people. But Jesus in his ministry is always, and it should amaze us and shock us, but he's always interested in the children, the women, the sick, the sinful, the outcast, the outsiders, those who don't belong. I want to even use the word the weirdos. And some of us might say, I find myself in some of those words, outsider, outcast, sick, sinful, weirdo. Jesus has come to bring good news to all people because all people need to hear what he has to say and what he has done. And I say that because Jesus is never about just telling Jewish people how to be better Jewish people. He's never about telling people in the Roman Empire how to be better Roman citizens. He's always ministering to the whole human condition. So when he heals people, he's tapping into a human longing for healing. When Jesus says, love your enemy, he's tapping into the universal human condition. When he says, don't worry, don't be anxious, people across the cultures can tap into that. When he talks about sin and forgiveness and confession, again, the universal human plight. When he dies on a cross or rises from the dead, he calls anyone from any people group, anyone who would hear about that and receive that and embrace that, he calls them into following, but also into the life that he offers. And I'm so thankful this year for this theme that we've had, from Bethlehem to the world, from Bethlehem for the world. And I found it amazing how God has orchestrated our Advent season around that theme. That a few weeks ago we had Petra Wirl here, who just happens to come from North Africa and sort of visit us for a week. And then a couple of Sundays ago we had the children's choir from Zambia. And then last night for me and this morning, these videos, we had four of them last night and three of them this morning. And all those videos are testimonies that what the angel said is true. It would be good news for all the people. And I think as we can attest today, all the people, all the peoples, all the nations are responding to the news of Jesus Christ. So it's never Bethlehem all for itself, or Jesus all for himself, or for a few people. It's always the story of Bethlehem, the story of Jesus for the world. And this morning, I want to invite us to respond to that. So we did some of this last night during our Christmas Eve service, but I want to try it again a little bit this morning, if you're willing to. I want to ask you this morning, do you believe and receive the one who is not just for you, for us, but also for the world? That he is for all the people. Do you receive him? Do you embrace him? And if you do, or as you do, are you willing and wanting for others to embrace him and receive him? Are you willing and wanting and longing to pray that others would receive him and believe him? Are you open this day, maybe especially, but this week, this season, as God gives opportunity to share the message of the one who is sent for all the people with the people that God might put in your path? And my conviction is that whenever we say something like, God, I have no idea how I would share this message, but if you give me opportunity, I will do something. I have a sense whenever we do that, something will happen. He will give opportunity. And then we'll have to remember, oh yeah, I said I would say something. I said I would do something. I said I would, if that opportunity was there. So this morning, I'm asking for those of us who do receive the one sent for all the people, would you be willing this day, this week, this season to say, as the Lord gives opportunity, I'm willing to share, say something, talk to someone? So I'm going to ask a few questions in a few moments. And as I ask the questions, if you're willing to respond, or if you're willing to say yes, I'm going to ask you just to come and stand around this table in the front. All right, now, I want to say, I love responding. I love when we give opportunity to respond, but I don't want this to be a ploy, right? I don't want this to be like, oh, Pastor Yo is trying to make something happen here. If there's in your heart no longing or no desire or a sense of God is calling me to share this news with someone this day or this week or this season of the year, and please don't come up. But if you say, oh yeah, I sense something maybe stirring in my heart, or When he started asking that question, I want to say yes to that. If that's you, then do please come up, if you're willing to. So I want to ask, is there anyone this morning who would be open to sharing this message with someone else? And it could be someone you're thinking about very specifically, or someone you're thinking about just sort of generally. You're maybe not even sure exactly who it is. Is there someone who'd be willing, say, yeah, I'd be willing, I'm wanting, I'm longing, I'm desiring, I feel some tug to share this message with someone else or someone's else. But let me pray, and then we'll light the candles, and I'm going to invite you to do something if you're willing to. So, Father, we want to thank you for this story that's for all the people, or even us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that as we respond in a few moments, you would grant us courage to share, and strength to share, and humility to share, and opportunity, Lord, to share. I pray for myself this day. I pray for others here. that you would help us. And we know, Lord, there are opportunities in our lives, and I pray for me and others, Lord, we would seize them. We would receive them as gifts from you, opportunities to share the story, and then we would use those opportunities to share. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.